Shabbat Israel, Amen Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Lullaby for Ruth, was written by Theodore and Matilda Farrell.
In Poland, the city of Vilna was home to Saul Tobin. Here he was born, here he married the love of his youth, Rachel, and here the Nazis came. For the people of Vilna, it meant occupation. For the Jews of Vilna, watching them come, it meant the threat of annihilation. A few were lucky and got out of the country. A few, like Saul and Rachel Tobin, silent behind their closed doors, also managed to survive. And in the little front room behind their closed door, Rachel gave birth to their daughter, Ruth.
Saul.
Yes, Rachel?
How much do you think?
6 pounds. It's only a guess.
Will the doctor come again?
No, but we will not need him.
Oh, look at her. She's the picture of health.
Listen to her.
Give her to me. Ruth, Tobin, do you like it?
Yes.
She will be fair.
It's a day old, how do you know?
Oh, because you are fair. Shall I sing to her? She's so little.
Sing to her.
What harm can it do?
Unter jederlas Wiegele steht der kleine Ziegele. Das Ziegele ist gut.
Behind their closed doors, Ruth was born, and Ruth grew. Saul brought food for her and Rachel, searching the fields in the early morning, except when they heard the marching. Then he and Rachel prayed, and the food was brought by a friend. His name was Ignatz.
So it is not only the Jews, Saul. We, too, are suffering.
I know.
I have an aunt. She is old and alone. Twice last week they searched her house. For what? Traitors, they say. Well, at heart, most of us are traitors, the old as well as the young.
Soon it will be over, Ignatz.
My Rachel, it is 2 years since they came, and every day she has said, soon. You cannot stay?
Not tonight. The little one is well?
She is thin, but she is well.
The little one, Ruth, continued to grow. She had no toys and no companions. All she saw of the world was from a window. And a window so high and small that all she really saw was the sky. But at 4 years old, she knew the sky, where the sun came up, where it set. And at night, she could name the stars.
Venus, Mama.
Venus, Ruth.
It is always the brightest.
Because it is the nearest.
Teach me, Mama.
All day long I teach you. When you go to school, you will be so smart, they will put you in the second grade.
What grade will they put you in?
Oh, no grade. I am a mother, and mothers no longer go to school.
Why not?
Well, because they have to stay home with the children.
Will you always stay with me, Mama?
Always.
Even when the feet come marching?
Oh, the marching is nothing. Don't think of it, Ruth. All right, I will teach you.
About the Jews. please?
If you like.
Tell me a happy story about them. Why do you think so long, Mama?
It is sometimes hard to find one.
I will find one. And at last their troubles were over, and they came to the promised land. We too?
We too. Soon, Ruth. Come to bed.
Will you sing to me? If you sing, I don't hear the marching.
I will sing.
Unter Jedalas Wiegele steht der kleine Ziegele. Das Ziegele ist gefuhr in Handeln. Das wird sein Dachbar.
Rosenkalach mit Mandeln. Schlaf, mein Kind. Schlaf.
Yes, Rachel.
You are back so soon. Did you find anything?
I did not look. I met Ignatz. He was coming here to warn us. They have started a new roundup.
Oh, Saul. Oh, what will we do?
And we have time, about an hour. And Ignatz is going to help us. He will borrow a truck and hide us in it and drive us to some others. They will tell us what to do next. If we are lucky, we will get to Sweden.
What shall we take?
Take nothing except the little one. I will wake her.
Gently, Saul. One should always waken a child gently.
Saul.
Here, Ignatz.
I'm going to take the higher road. It is longer, but I think it will be safer.
But will we be there soon?
Now, easy, Rachel. Here, pull up the blankets. You are cold. That is why you're shivering.
I've put it over Ruth. Will we stay in Sweden, Saul?
If they will have us. I think about Palestine. I've dreamed of it since they came. A land where no one will ever say, you are different. You are not one of us. Where we will be wanted, not hunted.
We have stopped.
Is anything wrong, Ignatz?
There are lights ahead.
Lights?
It looks like a roadblock.
But will they search the truck?
She's right. Do you know the country around here?
A little.
On the left is a woods. Cut through it and you will find a brook. Now follow it north for about 5 miles. You will come to the road again. I will go through the block. I have a pass. And then wait for you.
We will have to carry her.
No. She will slow you down. Leave her with me. If they see her, I will say that she is my child.
Come, Rachel.
One moment. Ruth. Ruth, we are going to leave you for a little while. If some men look into the truck, you will pretend to be asleep. It's a game, Ruth. You are not afraid.
No. But where are you going?
To take a walk in the woods.
Aunt Marie!
Is that you, Ignatz?
May I turn on the light?
Yes. But it's so late, I did not expect you. Why, you brought a child.
Shh, shh, shh. Where shall I put her?
Here on the couch. But who is she?
Aunt Marie, I trust you. You would also like to help them. You have said so. I do not know where else to take her.
But what happened?
Her parents have been caught. They went into the woods to avoid a roadblock, and the Nazis went in after them. At least I saved the child. You are old and alone. You are fond of children.
No, Ignat, no.
I saved her by saying that she was my own. Take her and make her your own.
She is only a baby.
She is four.
What is her name?
Ruth.
But will they let me keep her? If they search the house again, they will see her.
Tell them she is an orphan and that you have adopted her, but a Polish orphan. You will have to tell the child the same so she does not make a slip. And she is so young, she will believe you. She will soon forget.
You are sure about her parents?
Yes. I saw them. They were walking between two Nazi pigs. They will send them to the camps. And they will never come back.
Ruth did forget. Ignatz moved to Warsaw, and soon all she knew was her life with Marie. She took her name and called her Mama. Now she had toys and companions. She went out in the world. She went to school. Yet, she did not forget completely.
Another kitten. No, Ruth.
Please, Mama, let me keep her.
But you bring home every stray cat you find.
I did not find her. I opened the door and she was there. And do you know what she said to me? I have come to the promised land. Who told me that?
I do not know.
Somebody did. Long time ago, at last, their troubles were over, and they came to the promised land. It was the Jews who came. Could it have been my real mama who told me?
Perhaps.
But she was not Jewish?
No.
But she said, we too.
Ruth outgrew her toys and her clothes, but she could not outgrow her past. Memories still came back, especially at night when the present was less real to her. And then she would cry out to Marie.
It was such a bad dream.
I know.
I dreamed that feet were marching, and somebody said they are taking the Jews. But they didn't take us. We ran away. That isn't a dream. I remember it. We sat in a truck, and somebody whispered about Palestine. Where is Palestine?
In the morning, I will tell you.
Tell me something else, Mama. Why do I dream about the Jews? Why do I think about the Jews? Sing to me, Mama.
I am old. I cannot see.
Not often, but once in a while, Ruth thought about the Jews and the someone who whispered and sang to her. And in these memories, this someone became her real mother. The war was over now, and refugees began to be heard from and to trickle back into Vilna. And Ruth listened to the stories. She loved Marie, but perhaps one day her real mother.
And imagine, in the Jewish orphanage, do you know where that is, Mama?
Yes, Ruth.
There was a little boy. He was there for 7 years. And yesterday, his papa came.
The war was over, but there was still no peace in Vilna. First the Russians took over, then the new Poles, and the city was full of strangers. People were afraid again. They were hungry. They were also ill. Marie was old, and she became ill.
It is you I worry about, Ruth. What will become of you? Where will you go?
Mama, please. You will get well. I will nurse you and make you well. Besides, I know where I would go.
Marie did not get well. Ruth was alone again. Neighbors offered to take her in, and they were kind, but they were strangers. And although Ruth was only 12, she had already made a plan. The dark, empty streets she walked quickly until she came to a building. In this building was a light, and over the door some letters. The building had a name. It was an orphanage, a Jewish orphanage.
Finish it, Ruth. A big girl should eat a big breakfast.
No more, thank you.
Now tell me again why you have come here.
Because I am an orphan. I am a Jewish orphan. I have always known it, and I belong here.
Ruth knew it, and they believed her and kept her, and tried to help her find her real parents. The mother who in her dreams was still and always had been with her. But where and how? She did not even know her right name. And so instead they found a new home for her.
It will be the last one, Ruth. Do you know where we are sending you?
No.
Palestine.
Palestine. A land where no one would ever say, "You are different. You are not one of us." Where she would be wanted, not hunted. Ruth was not the only one who came to the Promised Land. From Germany, Hungary, Africa, and the other homeless came. From a woods near Vilna, from concentration camps and displaced persons camps, their very existence a miracle. Saul and Rachel also came.
So I say to myself, we are here. It has happened. Now do not think of the past.
That is right, Rachel.
It is 14 years. 14 years since we last saw her. So how will we find her?
She is in Poland, if she has survived.
If we have survived, she has survived.
Easy, Rachel. We are not the only ones. Everyone here has lost someone. A child, a husband, a parent.
I know. Saul.
Yes?
They have also found them here. Look here. Every day they advertise in the papers or on the radio.
But what will you say? Her name is Ruth Tobin. She was born in Vilna in 1940. In 1944, she was left in the truck beside some woods. It means nothing. Forget it, Rachel. If she is alive, she is in Poland. And she has forgotten us.
If Ruth were alive, she was still in Poland, and a woman of 18. How would Rachel even know her if by some miracle she found her? But she placed the ad, for hope had become a habit, and not only for Rachel, also for Ruth.
And do you not remember the name Tobin? Try. It's such an easy name.
I have tried. I don't remember.
She has told you that, Rachel.
Oh, please, Saul. Then perhaps you remember a man named Ignatz. He was young and tall, and we left you with him.
I'm sorry. No.
But you were told you were born in 1940, and that your name was Ruth.
Oh, I was told many things I had to be for my protection. And I was called Ruth.
All you really remember is the truck? That is why you came?
Yes, the truck and the marching feet and the stories. And someone singing.
It is very little. I'm afraid that it is too little.
Well, she is pretty soft.
Yes.
And fair. Our Ruth was fair. She would have been just your age, too.
I've often dreamed about my real mother. She was slim and dark, like you.
Tobin, think again. Ruth Tobin.
I could lie. I'm searching, too. I wish. But I don't remember.
Thank you for coming.
But you will come again. We will talk again.
No, we have said it all, Rachel. We are alive. We are here in the promised land, and that should be enough. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Tobin. Mrs. Tobin. And perhaps he will find her. I hope for you. I still hope for myself.
No, just a moment. You say you remember a truck and stories. Well, thousands of children escaped in trucks, and all mothers tell their children stories, but you also remember singing.
Yes.
Rachel, all mothers sing to their children, too.
Do they? Yes, but not all the same songs. And there was a special one that I sang because she always asked for it. She'd say to me, "Sing to me, Mama.
Sing to me, Mama." What was it called?
Rosinka Lachen Mandeln.
Is that Yiddish?
Yes.
No. I don't know any Yiddish.
Is it possible you might remember the tune? No, it is a very simple tune, like most lullabies. Let her go, Rachel.
I will sing it. And wait, listen. I will sing. Unter jedes Wiegele steht der kleine Ziegele. Das Ziegele ist gefroren handeln. Und das...
Wird sein dein Beruf Rosinkoller mit Mandeln. Schlurf, mein Kind, schlurf. How did I know that?
Because I taught it to you.
Yes, you did teach me. And there was a window and it was high and the brightest star was Venus.
Oh, yes, yes.
And, Papa, you came and brought me food, and a man named Ignatz came. He brought the truck. It was Ignatz who found a home for me after you took a walk in the woods.
Oh,
don't cry. Sing to me, Mama. I've found you. And you found me.
They had remembered and hoped. Saul and Rachel for the little daughter who had been born while the feet were marching. Ruth for the mother who had sung to her. Now, after 14 years, they had found each other in the promised land. Like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Moshe Samba, Director of the Leaders Training Fellowship of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Rabbi Samba.
The marching feet, which marked so terrible a tempo in the lives of this small family, have not yet ceased to echo. The shattered souls that came and yet come to the promised land still hear the beat of boots. The sound is unfortunately not a new one to the human ear. We can hear it loudly in the portion of scripture read only this past week in the synagogue. Pharaoh had decreed that every male child born to the children of Israel be cast into the river. Soldiers would march through the Israelite homes, and an infant's wail would be his death warrant. The reply of the Israelites, as was the reply of Rachel and Saul of our story, was to affirm life. In the presence of death, they created life. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and the more they spread abroad. Now, of course, the godly man would prefer to create life according to the divine behest. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But when faced with the tyrant's deadly might, he does not cease to hope. The life he creates and nurtures will someday enjoy the world and affirm the judgment of him who fashioned it. Behold, it is very good. This past summer, I was privileged to go up to the Promised Land. The few weeks I spent there enabled me to see wonders with my own eyes, how the healing sun and the holy ground had bound up the wounds of many who had returned, how the mystical lullaby of countless ages past had at last soothed these frightened souls. It also brought to mind a feeling shared by most clergymen, and especially those who work with young people. How blessed are we, how fortunate our children, that they did not undergo the trials of Ruth. And yet, how many of our children, in the midst of our peace and plenty, are wrenched from their tradition in a manner less violent, but nonetheless effective, than the Ruth of our story. How many of the children who grow estranged from their parents, who have not even the shred of a song to bind them to their forebearers. How many of the children who in this wildly shifting and unsettled era seek desperately for some firm foothold, for some anchor of tradition, but who have been denied even the slender thread of a mother's lullaby. There is precious little sense that the mind of mortals can make of the vast destruction of humanity in the age just past. Perhaps we can take heart from the survivors and learn from them how primal is that obligation to our children to plant them firmly in the panorama of the past so that they can make headway toward the vistas of the future, to bind them to our tradition, to teach them its teachings. As they then grow, through the power of life which we have given them, they will be guided by the voice of their forefathers. They will be able to say of the Promised Land, which is the inheritance of each of the sons of man, behold, it is very good.
Thank you, Rabbi Sandler. Our Eternal Light drama today, Lullaby for Ruth, was written by Theodore and Matilda Farrell. It was taken from a case from the files of Youth Aliyah. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in our cast were Leon Janney, Ida Reese Merrin, Joan Lazer, Maurice Tarplin, Abby Lewis, and Sarah Purcell. Your narrator was Norman Rose. This is Lionel Rico speaking. Our program was directed by Parker Gibbs. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.